We're going to be setting in motion today a journey on spiritual depth. We're calling 2014 a year of focused spiritual growth, both individually and corporately as a church. How can we grow close in Christ? This is an extension of what we've been doing. If you back up a couple of years, in 2012, our focus was on global missions. And we put all of our energy and efforts to learning about how to be in mission to our community and our nation and our world around us, the farthest reaches of the world. And we really unleashed a new spirit of what it means to be a missional church. This year, 2013, that is just now ending, we've been focusing on personal evangelism. Set a goal at the beginning of this year to reach 100 people for Jesus Christ. And we've gone far beyond that as people have been won to Christ. And as a piece of that, we've now gone to 3 worship services to make space for the new people who are coming into the kingdom. And we're so thankful for that. But in next year, 2014, our focus will be on spiritual growth. How can you and I as individuals, and how can we collectively as the body of Christ grow deeply in Him? What does it mean to look more and more and more like Christ all of the time? And that's what our focus and our goal and our desire will be for this year. Now, to illustrate this a little bit, I just need to get some help here. So, Drew Brandt, if you could come up here. Ryan, if you could come up here. And Anastasia, I could use all of you guys right up here. Let's give it up for these great, willing volunteers as they're coming up this time. We got a rope here. You guys, if you could just grab an end of that. And you can be my selector of colors along the way. Let's pop the next slide up, if you could, please. And Anastasia, can you come back here with me just a moment? And you guys, pull this thing tight. That's it? All right. Keep it tight. All right, tight. Now, what we have here is a timeline, if you will. And most often in life, we think of birth to death as sort of the movement of our life. But I believe we should think about it differently. What if we look at spiritual growth all the way from being a non-believer to being a Christ-like follower of Jesus Christ who's fully committed, fully dedicated, and fully ready to serve Him in every way? And if we do that, then when it comes time to get to heaven, God can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We can say, "I'm ready to be with you. I have done what you've called me to do in life." So if you would, Anastasia, come over here. Just pick any color you want out that works for a non-believer. She picked blue, I guess because they're feeling blue. Very good. And so we have this one here, and this is going to represent for us anybody who's a non-believer. And our focus really this year has been on non-believers. How can we reach out to folks and make a difference in their life? We keep it very simple with evangelism. How do you introduce them to Christ and invite them to church? And if you can introduce somebody to Christ, Drew, and invite them to church, you've started a conversation with somebody. It's not simply about making them become a believer. You've started a conversation that will help them grow in Christ. Our next one is what I call a skeptic. So what do you have there that looks good and skeptical? Okay, purple, deep purple. And we have purple here that's, you know, I consider this progress. When somebody moves away from being a non-believer and they move into the world of being a skeptic, I consider that good. Some people would say, "Well, we don't want people who are skeptical around." I love it when people who are skeptical come around. And when we've had so many people who've come here and are now believers, now followers of Christ, who said, "When I walked in these doors, I was skeptical. Skeptical about God, skeptical about the Bible, Christians, and this church. Extremely skeptical about you guys." And I love that because that's movement to me. From somebody who's absolutely sure there is no God to, "Well, maybe, but I'm skeptical." The next one we have is a seeker. What do you have? Lovely lavender. Nice choice. And a seeker is somebody who's, again, there's progress. There's movement coming along the way. A seeker is somebody who's really looking for God. AA might call it a higher power. But we know that the rope is like a roller coaster. Now, come on. pop that thing back. Okay, that's good. And so we see that we see movement with a seeker coming along here and showing what it means to come closer and closer, still not in, still not a believer in Christ, but somebody who's seeking hope, seeking truth, seeking something beyond themselves. And then we have pink, hot pink, for someone who is a believer in Christ. This person's a believer in Christ. We'll put this right here, just about in the middle. And here's the problem. I'm not making the terms up. The terms have been around, but the progress I've been working through, you can help me think through it this coming year. But here's what I think, is that we have tended to look at this as the ending point of faith. We have tended to, in modern Christianity, say, has somebody come forward, said the prayer, given their lives to Jesus Christ, the terminology, invited Christ into their hearts, and that's sort of it. And if you've done that, we have two classifications, the saved and the unsaved. And so we're like, everybody who's saved fits in here, everybody who's unsaved, and this is, becomes the ultimate goal of faith. But I don't believe it's that. I believe it goes much deeper than that, and it goes to a next level of that. Let's try another one. You got yellow, nice choice. Yellow we'll have for being a follower of Christ. Now, there's a big difference between a follower and a believer. A follower is somebody that lives up to what Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. See, you can be a believer in Christ and never even go to church. You can be a believer in Christ and never serve. You can be a believer in who God, you can believe there was a God, believe there was a Jesus, believe he died on the cross, believe there is a Holy Spirit, and never really follow. But to be a follower, you can't be here and stay away from church. You can't be here and refuse to tithe or give a tenth. You can't be here and not use your spiritual gifts. To be a follower means you are all in. You're ready to serve. But I believe it goes beyond that. What do you have? Orange. Nice. Orange is the next one we're going to go with. And this represents to me somebody who is a discipler of other people. A discipler of other people. It's not simply somebody who comes. See, you can be here in many ways and just be somewhat passive. You can listen to sermons. You can join in on worship. You can give your offerings. And you can even serve in a variety of nice ways. But if you're discipling somebody in the faith, you're helping them grow along the path. Here's what I believe. There are very few of these in the church today. And we are going to become this kind of church at least. Guys, I can't reach that low. this is because if we have these people that disciple other people, help other people grow, they're going to help this person move to here, this one move to here. They're going to help each person move along the way because they're discipling. It could be a mentor-mentee relationship. It can be a side-by-side relationship in which the two people say, I want to join with you, ask questions, learn about Scripture, learn about faith, and learn about all these things. And we have one more. We use red. Nice choice. Reminds me of the blood of Christ. For being Christ-like. And a person that's Christ-like in every single kind of way is a person who does everything Christ does, lives every way Christ has called us to live. Every thought, every word, every action is completely like Christ. John Wesley, our founder, called it going on to perfection. We would say it is so much filled with the Holy Spirit that there is no more world in me. We have one more, Anastasia. And you've saved this one for last. And we'll just say this represents self. And the question I have for each one of us is, where would you put yourself on the line? Where do you see yourself? Maybe here? And the bigger question I have is, has it changed in the past year? Are you in exactly the same spot? Because we think about spiritual growth, we think about the movement in the growth, and that it always needs to be moving and growing. Yes, it does come in spurts at times, and there are times when we kind of settle in and put down roots, but then we move along that path. Are you in the same spot you were 3 years ago, 5 years ago, all those kind of ways? Anastasia, I'd like you to hold this. I'm going to call you guys back up at the end of the service, okay? You guys can set that down. Give a big hand to our fantastic rope pullers. Here's the deal. Okay, I know this. This is just an illustration because spiritual growth is not linear. It is not a straight line. It's not simple if we just move, and it's not equally spaced apart. I get that. It's a visual illustration. But for all of us, we need to know this. There has to be movement. Whatever image you need to sink into your mind, there has to be movement. And if we stay static, we're never becoming all that Christ has called us to be. We're continually forgetting what it looks like. Now, this series is called Set, Put, Let. Kind of a different series, right? Set, Put, Let. And it comes from Colossians chapter 3. And today, in the next two Sundays, we'll be looking at passages from Colossians chapter 3. Inside your bulletin, there's an outline. If you'd like to follow along, you're certainly welcome to do so. Set is all about proper focus. The scripture says in the first four verses, we just read them this morning, set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above. If your heart and your mind can be set there, be focused there, then you'll be in good shape. The second part is put. And the middle part of the Colossians chapter 3 says that we are to put and take all these and put them into action. To put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. To put on, that is to clothe yourself as God's chosen people with virtues and the things he's given to us. And let is used twice in the last part of chapter 3. Let is all about deep relationships, a deep relationship with Christ. Look at this, wouldn't this be beautiful? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. To allow that depth to come into you and to be part of who you are. I think about a young couple in a marriage, getting ready to be married relationship. The first part of that is they set their focus on each other. Their minds, their hearts, it's all they can think about is the other person in that early on part of the relationship. But eventually it comes time to put it into action. Somebody has to ask the question. Somebody has to say yes. They stand before God and their friends and say, I do. And they really say, we're going to put this into action. And then it's really about the let part of that, the developing the relationship. The relationship that lasts 20 or 30 or 50 or 70 years, as is the case with a couple in this church, lasts forever almost. And God says, we're going to allow that relationship to dwell and to flourish. That's just exactly how it is with Christ. Our relationship with him, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. I want to begin then with the series on the topic of set your focus. Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above. Set your focus, if you will, on Christ exactly. I remember when our daughter Beth was very little. We took her to the eye doctor and she got her first set of glasses. She got her glasses and we put her in the back seat and we drove home with her brand new glasses on. We were just driving home and she looked out the window of the back seat and she looked up into the sky and she said, this is amazing. I never knew you could see every individual leaf in the trees. It is so beautiful. I want all of us to have that kind of focus on Christ. In 2014, that God would allow us to draw so close to him that we would see details and aspects of who he is that we never dreamed we'd see in any other kind of way. It's all about proper focus. Okay, we're going to play a little game, bringing things into focus here. I'm going to put some images on the screen that are distorted. And as soon as you think you know what it is, then you can shout it out. Worship team, you're not allowed to play because you were here first service. So let's see if we can figure out what it is. What is this thing? It's a lion. Okay, brought into focus. That was pretty easy. Try this one. What is that? Oh, there it comes into focus. You can see it. Isn't it great how things come into focus? What is this? Oh, yeah. And this you should know this, world famous race car drivers. I am really disappointed you guys are obviously not Indy 500 fans. It's really makes me sad. You didn't know who that was. And then finally, what is this coming into focus? This is what we're talking about with this series. And it's what we're looking at for all of 2014. You know, it's one thing to look at Christ from 10,000 feet. You ever been flying over the 10,000 feet? And you look down, you can see the little patchwork squares. You can see the farmer's fields. That looks very different when you're standing on the ground. When you're standing on the ground, you can see every corn stalk. You can see a beetle on the corn stalk. You can see everything, right? Every single thing. And we're going to come out of 10,000 feet. We're going to go down to 2 feet. And we're going to be looking at things right here. We're going to be looking at Christ so closely in this coming year that he will hear your heartbeat and feel your breath upon his cheek as you're drawing close to him. And if you allow yourself to draw in and closer to him, then he will allow you to know him deeply, who he is and who he's called you to be. Inside of your program, then, you have this set of scriptures. And let's read these together. These are some great scriptures that we can have that will help us focus on who God is and who he wants us to be. We're going to start with the very first one out of Colossians chapter 3. It's our passage for today. And this is, we're going to all read these out loud together. They won't be in the screen. They'll only be in your notes. And I want these to sink in. That way you're going to both hear them and see them as we speak them out together. Join with me. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The powerful passage helps us to know God more and more deeply. And that's what our goal is to be able to have our hearts and our minds completely focused on him. This is going to be Pick on My Daughter Day, so I'm just going to go take another shot at it. When our daughter Paige was young, she also got glasses, and I had to ask her about the timeline of that, and she reminded me she was about in third grade when she got her glasses, and she was able to see the world clearly. And interesting thing happened when she was about a freshman in high school, she got contact lenses. She went back to the doctor when she was a junior in high school, and the doctor said, "You don't even need anything anymore. Your vision is better than 20/20. Your vision is now 20/10 or something like that. You have better vision than normal. Your eyes have changed. The shape of the eye has changed. You've grown into your eyeballs. I don't know exactly what happened." But now she was able to see where she needed help before. My goal and hope is that all of us will be like that. That we have corrective lenses that help us see things in our life and help us draw close to God. And eventually we're going to say we're so close to him, we know beyond knowing the right thing to do, the right way to think, what is godly, what is not godly, what is scriptural and what is not. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, read this with me. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Read this with me. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So you notice the progression here? The New Testament, where the focus is hearts and minds and bodies and now our mouths, what comes out and how we speak. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Read this. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." It's about our thought life. And if you're ever wondering, you find your mind wandering, and you're thinking things that are ungodly, go back to Philippians 4:8 and say, what are the things that my mind should be focusing on? Things that are excellent and praiseworthy and lovely. If we focus on the right things, we set our minds on the right things, then God will allow us to have our thoughts that are normal come out of our minds and the thoughts that are godly come into our minds. Hebrews 12, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, notice feet getting put into action. And in this verse, your eyes, what you focus on. And in our culture, it is so hard. It is so hard. There are so many things for the eyes to see. We see people and the way they are, and perhaps the way they're dressed, and it's temptation. Things that we look at through our screens, TVs, and iPads, and computers, magazines we look at. Our eyes can get distracted so many times. How can you set your eyes on Christ? How can your eyes focus on what is good and godly? And then finally, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? And his response in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. So do this. I'd like you to pray about this. In 2014, I need to set my focus on God in the following ways. And think about your heart. What is your heart beating for? What's your passion right now? Your mind, your thought life, your actions, your body, your mouth, eyes, soul. Add to the list whatever aspect of your life that just seems out of kilter or maybe not progressing along the spiritual path as you're wanting to grow deeply and more deeply in who Christ is. Because it's all about growth. I mean, it doesn't help to be a tree that puts down a single root that won't stand the test of time. And that is why we want to grow more and more like him in every kind of way. You know, this is not only the last Sunday of the year, but this is also the 20th birthday of our youngest daughter, Lynette. Now, isn't that awesome? She's 20 years old. It was just a few days ago, it seemed like, that we had four teenage daughters, 13, 15, 17, and 19. And now they're all 20-something, and they've all grown up. And I've been thinking a lot about Lynn this past week as we've spent time together, and she is now passing out of the teen years into 20 and beyond. And I've been thinking, you know, what would it be like if she today were 20 years old, but she was still the size of a three-year-old? That would be a bummer, wouldn't it? What would it be like if she were 20 years old, but she had the brain of a 10-year-old? That would be rough to pass college. What would it be like if she was 20 years old and she was emotionally like a 13-year-old? Love you, 13-year-olds. But you're not the same as you are when you're 20. It'd be hard to have normal adult relationships in the way that you do. You see, a lot of times I believe this, that we in our lives know that we want to grow up in stature. We want to grow up emotionally and intellectually and physically and in every kind of way. We want to grow up as human beings. But when it comes to spiritual growth, too many times we're content to say, you know, it's good enough. It's far enough along the path. I hear that kind of stuff you're talking about. That's cool. That's for some other people in the church or for missionaries or for somebody. Look, folks, if you don't find a way to grow, you're in trouble. All right, I need my volunteers. Come on back up. Let's bring this thing back up here. Anastasia, I hope you have your... Yes, you got it. Okay, good. Come here a minute. We got to talk about this. All right, you got the one that represents ourself, right? Where do you think we should put it?
Representing who?
Representing which one of them? Your brother. No, not your brother. How about just representing just anybody? Just put it anywhere you want. Right there, okay. And this was a believer, wasn't it? Uh-huh. Yeah. So somebody here who's been a believer and has moved down the way a little bit, but maybe not a fully committed follower of Christ yet. That's what you're thinking. Yeah. That's good. That's really good. See, one of the questions we talked about is, if that's where a person is, we've said, have they moved in the past year, the past couple of years? Have they just been there forever? There's another way, Anastasia, to look at this, and that is, what's their plan for doing this? That's different. You know, you're in confirmation class right now, aren't you? Yeah. And you're learning a lot about faith, learning a lot about growth. And when this is all done, it's 13 weeks, and you'll be all done with confirmation class. And when you get all done for confirmation class, you could just like get stuck for the rest of your life. How old are you?
I'm 13.
You're 13. You don't want to be 20 and still stuck at 13, remember? So you don't want to do that. What you want to do with your life is you want to say, confirmation class is going to move you from here to here, okay? Or from here to here, or maybe a long gap, depending on how much you just jump into it. But you want to all the rest of your life be growing and moving and moving. See, the deal is that Jesus, when he died and he rose from the tomb and he got with his disciples in his resurrected body, he looked at them and he said, I want you to go and make disciples. That's a disciple maker. That's down here. I want you to go and make disciples of all people groups, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. He said, I'm with you. I'm going to be with you all the way to the very end of the age. So it seems like at the very least, Christ wants us to be here. At the very least, doesn't it? And eventually, Ryan, we come down to where we can be Christ-like. In our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, our heart beats for him. Everything about us is Christ-like. We do the things he did. We live the way he lived. We completely obey him. You know, church, if we decide we're going to be this kind of church and not this kind of church, we'll change the world. We will literally change the world. You know our mission statement is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. This kind of church doesn't transform anything. But this kind of church, the gates of hell don't stand a chance. Thank you so much. Give it another hand for our wonderful participants here. Would you stand with me? So today, Father, we're before you. And we're thinking about movement in our lives. Here at the beginning of a new year, it gives us a great opportunity to think about changes we want to make. However, we know that this progress is continual. We're called to move and grow and always be more and more like Christ. And when we do that, we don't have to have perhaps a year focused on personal evangelism, because if we're that kind of church down near the end of the rope, we're winning people to Christ. We're introducing people to Christ and inviting them to church all the time. If that's who we are and where we live, down near the end, almost Christ-like in every way, we don't have to have somebody remind us to care about the poor and the hurting and the widows and those without food and water. Our heart beats for them. And we serve them with food and we get them clean water, but we also give them Christ. So in some ways, it would seem like this year is all about us, spiritual growth. But not really. Because the deeper we go, the wider the reach. It's like a tree with deep, deep roots. Big, big branches. Would you show us who you are? Would you help us to bring you into focus? Would you allow us to draw so near to you that we see things we never saw before, like a little girl seeing the leaves on a tree for the first time. We see you for who you are. We are your willing servants. And we dedicate ourselves this day to this call. It is in your name we pray. Amen.